Why don't we pray and then we will open our Bibles and get to work. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can read this book and hear your voice through the words that Matthew wrote. God, we pray that you would speak to us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through the book of Matthew, and we're going through it in order, and so the idea is that we are going to be looking at Jesus' life and his example, and then we will be listening to Jesus' words, but we're still not quite to that point yet, because it's not until today's story that Jesus actually is born, so we're getting there. But today's story, it raises a question. It gives us a contrast between two different people and two different lifestyles, if you will, and it raises a question that we should look at and think about and answer, and the question is, who's your boss? Who's the person who gets to tell you what to do in your life? And when I say that, if you think of the person at work who gets to tell you what to do, your actual boss, or if you are the boss at work, and so you say, well, no one, but then maybe the people who pay you, your clients are your boss. So who's your boss? Maybe it's you think of your parents, or you think of a spouse, or you think of yourself. I'm the boss of me. My favorite line from, being a child, and I still like that line. I'm the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. I'm the boss of me. And what we'll see today is that you really have two options in life for who can be your boss, for who can be in charge of you and get to tell you what to do. It can either be yourself or God. Either you get to be the boss of you, or you decide and let God be the boss of you. And I know that's not correct English, but it makes sense. So just go with me on that. Who is your boss? And our tendency is to be our own boss. Our tendency is just baked into us. It's hardwired into us. I'm the boss of me. I tell me what to do. I make my own decisions. It's just hardwired into me. You're not going to tell me what to do. And even if I have to, because you're paying me money or you have authority over me and I have to act like I'm obeying you, I'm not feeling it. I'm acting like it on the outside, but I'm really making my own decisions. I do what I want to do because I want to do. It's baked into us from the time we're little children, isn't it? The first word you learn when you're a child is? Okay, maybe your kids were exceptionally loving of their father, but most children learn the word no, even before dad and mom. It's no, is like, or it's in the top five at least. It's baked into us, no. Well, long before we learn yes, we learn no. Well, why is that? Because me being the boss of me is hardwired into me. And then what I found is the older that I get, the more time that goes by, the more, well, the fact that I'm now a little bit older than I was last year, that's even more reason for me to be the boss of me, because now, well, I'm this age. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm this old. No one's going to, especially someone younger than me, is not going to tell me what to do. And it really doesn't matter what you decide, what we decide to do with God. You can call yourself a Christian. You can make a decision to follow Jesus. But at the end of the day, most of the time, we are our own bosses. It's just how we are. And the big idea that we're going to see in the story today, when we get there, and we will, is that you have to decide who your boss is going to be. You have to decide who gets to tell you what to do and who you will submit to. And a real close corollary to that is God demands to be our boss, to be our Lord, to be the one who tells us what to do. He demands that. It's not optional in God's eyes. It's not something that in God's eyes that you can accept if you want to or not. It's not something that you can partially accept. You can't accept God being your boss some of the time. It's not something that you can say, well, I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to see what he asked me to do and give up and be, and I'll make it on a kind of a case-by-case decision. God demands to be our boss. In fact, the definition of having a relationship with God is submitting to him. That's the definition of being a Christian, of being a child of God, that He would be the one who gets to tell us what to do, that whatever He says, I would do. And that's the way it's always been. We're going to look at Matthew, but if you go back to the very beginning in the book of Genesis, God made man and woman in His image, to be like Him, to reflect who He is, to live in submission to Him for His glory, to reflect who He is throughout the world. And shortly after Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, and then subsequently all of us, decided we wanted to be like God and make our own decisions and rebelled again. They rebelled against God, and we've rebelled against God and said, no, you're not going to be the boss of me. Well, why? Because you have to choose who your boss is. And every person chooses, I'm going to be the boss of me. We rebel against God. And then reconciliation with God, this is like the Bible in 30 seconds, the whole thing from the beginning until now, reconciliation with God, whether it was God's people Israel when they were in a correct relationship with God, or whether it's you and I now through Jesus Christ on the cross, through His sacrifice, whether it was them or us or anyone who is reconciled to God, the definition of being reconciled to God is coming under His authority and saying, I decide, I choose, I will bend my knee to you and you will be the boss of me. You will get to tell me what to do. That's why the cry of the early church was what? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Lord is not a word we throw around today, but Lord means and meant the one who gets to tell me what to do. You rule and reign over my life. And the reason why God demands to be our boss is because He is God and we are not. And so He, if you and I decide to be His children, He demands a total commitment, a total surrender from us. It's starting from the very beginning when we make the decision to follow Jesus. What does Acts 2:38 say? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent is surrendering your heart and your mind and saying, I accept that you are my Lord. It's and then be baptized is surrendering your body and your whole being and physically. And that's why baptism is so significant in a lot of ways, because it's immersion. It's you're letting yourself go in the hands of another. You're surrendering. We surrender ourselves to God. We make Him our Lord. And then throughout our lives, if, like, for example, if you look at Luke 9:23-26, if we are going to follow Jesus, even after we make that initial decision, the definition of following Jesus is surrendering everything to Him and saying, you are the boss of me. Well, what does He say there? He says, if anyone would come after me or would follow me. So in our verbiage, that would be if you're going to be Jesus, a follower of Jesus, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to be connected with Jesus and with the Father through Him, he must what? She must what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. We have to say, you're the boss of me when we first decide to follow Jesus, and then every day after that. That's the definition of being God's child. And we push back against that. And we say, I don't like that. I don't like anyone telling me what to do. I don't like giving up my own. I'll do what I want to do. And sometimes it might be what you're asking me to do, but it'll be because I'm deciding to do that. Have you ever said that to your spouse in a moment of frustration, or to your parent, to your child? You say, I'm going to do that, but not because you're telling me to. We want to make our own decision. When we look at things like today, where we see this total surrender to God and total rebellion against God, what we're going to look at in this story, and when we see how God demands that we surrender to Him and that He be the boss of us. Listen, there's something in us that just resents that God would demand that from us. And we say, well, don't I have free will? Can't I be my own person too? Well, that's why you have to decide who the boss of you will be. So go to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at a contrast here. Matthew 2 verse 13. A contrast between two people, Joseph and Herod. King Herod, Joseph. the husband of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, so Joseph and Herod. And we're going to look at a contrast in submission, because one of the things that just jumps out of this story, at least when I read it, it just jumped out at me. It's Herod is completely his own boss. He makes his own decisions. He decides what he's going to do. Zero surrender to God, zero to surrender to anybody else, zero taking into account anyone else's opinion, especially God's opinion. And then Joseph is completely surrendered to God. There is a picture in this story of what it absolutely means like to be someone who's in a relationship with the Father who says, whatever you say, I've already decided the answer is yes, and I'm just going to do it. And we're going to look at this story. We're going to see what it looks like when we try to be the sovereign of our own life and do our own will and do what we want to do, and how that just makes a mess of things. And we're going to look at how God orchestrates events through history to fulfill his plan. So the story starts at verse 13, but if you were here last week, you know the story ended in verse 12. So the wise men had come to visit Jesus. Remember the Christmas story, right? The wise men had come to find the Messiah, to find Jesus, and they gave him their treasures, verse 11, and then being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Why did they have to be warned to not return to Herod? Because the king, when they came looking for Jesus, King Herod said, go find him, and I'll help you know where he is. So when you've actually found exactly where he's at, come back and tell me so that I could go and worship him. But he wasn't going to go worship him. He wanted to kill him so that the new king, the Christ, Jesus, wouldn't take away his kingship and his family's legacy, because his sons were going to be the next kings, not this child who was born. So he wanted to find Jesus. And God warned the wise men in a dream not to return to Herod to tell him where Jesus was. And so they went, took another path. They typed something else in the GPS and went home a different way. Verse 13, they didn't have GPSs. I don't want to be accused of falsely teaching the word. Okay. Verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So God talks to Joseph. He communicates with Joseph. And it's not just a, hey, how are you doing? It's a, I'm going to communicate with you. I'm going to give you guidance. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to tell you what to do. And most of the time when God talks to us, it's a telling us what to do conversation. And that's what he talks to Joseph. And look at how Joseph reacts in verse 14. And he rose. So he's laying in bed. When do you have dreams? Well, normally when you're asleep. He was asleep at night. He rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. He hears God speak to him in a dream, and he doesn't say, I'm going to think about that for a minute. I'm going to wake up the next day. I'm going to talk to Mary. I'm going to go consult, you know, go down to the synagogue and talk to the guys there and see what they think and kind of test it and see if that's from God. And he heard God speak. He knew it was God telling him what to do, and he immediately did it. And that kind of obedience just blows my mind, because that's not how I'm programmed to obey God. I think I know what God wants me to do, and I sit on it, and I wait, and I think, and I want to make sure, and I want to run it by some people, and I want to pray about it. And if he really wants me to do it, he'll tell me to do it again. And then I go back and grab the story of Gideon in the Old Testament, and I say, well, I'm going to put a fleece before the Lord. That wasn't a good example from Gideon. That was a lack of faith example from Gideon. And so I say, I'm gonna make sure. And Joseph says, no, I heard God. I'm going to do what he says. And you know that if he obeyed God, and this is reading into it, but I think this is a pretty safe leap. If he obeyed God that fast, he woke up from a dream and said, okay, I know what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it right now. Everybody use the restroom? We're gonna take a trip. We're going right now. And they left for another country in that moment. That level of obedience, do you obey God like that? Unless you've decided beforehand, whatever God tells me to do, don't care what it is, I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter. He can ask me anything. Jesus is my Lord. That's not just something I sing on Sunday. Jesus is Lord. It actually means something to me. It means he's my boss. He'll tell me what to do, and I'll do it. That's what Joseph did. And then we see the contrast with Herod. So Joseph hears, obeys. Herod doesn't hear, doesn't listen. He does what he wants to do. He's his own boss. So look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in that all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. Thus then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. You see what happened? Herod, even though you could say, well, God didn't talk to Herod. He was ignoring God. But God communicated. Herod knew you're not supposed to kill. Herod knew that a star had appeared saying the new king, the Messiah, was coming. He knew that that is what that all of the people of Israel were waiting for hundreds of years. God was saying, this is where things are going. And Herod said, no, I'm going to take things into my own hands. I'm going to decide what I'm going to do. I'm going to make my own decisions and do what I want to do. And I'm going to make sure that what I want to have happen happens no matter what. And you and I maybe don't, you know, kill a whole village full of children, but we do the same kind of thing when we say, not the same kind of thing, but we are like Herod when we say, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to make my own decisions, and it really doesn't matter what happens in the process. Whatever it takes, I'm going to push for what I want to make happen. Now, that's what Herod did. That's what you and I do, and he made a mess of things. He didn't ask God. He didn't try to figure out what God wanted. He decided what he wanted, and he did it. And then the flip side continues in verse 19. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, so Herod's son was one of the new kings, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that was spoken by the prophets, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. And we see again, God continues communicating with Joseph. Why do you think he does that? Well, because he's God, right? And he's the one who says, I'm going to decide how things happen. And he communicates with Joseph because Joseph has already said yes to him. See, when you and I say yes to whatever God is telling us to do, and we do it, God gives us the next step. When we say no to whatever God is clearly telling us to do, and we block on that, we don't hear from God. That's another teaching for another day. But Joseph had said yes and obeyed. And then God spoke to him again and said, okay, now do this. And what did he do? He continued obeying. He immediately said, okay, going on another trip, hit the restrooms, or get up and get in the van, we're going to go. I was one of nine children, so that's how every trip started. Hit the restrooms, get in the van. That was, and then hold it until we get there. That was a Konarski family trip. So he went back. He obeyed God. He continued obeying God. You get the idea that that was his modus operandi. That's just how he operated. God was his boss. He was submitted to God. God told him what to do. Didn't think about it. Didn't take a lot of time to mull it over and what do I want to do and how is this going to work and what will the ramifications be? And I just got my little business started here in Egypt and I'm going to leave it. And do I really have to go back? God, could you please let me stay? He said, no, okay, time to go back. And he obeyed God spoke, and he obeyed him. We see this contrast between Herod and Joseph. It's not the only thing that's talked about in this story, but this is a big thing, a contrast between them. One of them living in complete submission to God, you're the boss of me, and the other one living completely outside of God's will, saying, I'm going to make my own decisions. And the way that looks is when you say, I'm going to decide what I want to do, I'm going to analyze it, I'm going to make my own decision, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And sometimes that doesn't look bad. It looked bad in the moment for Herod, right? He killed all of the children in a whole village. All the little children. That was horrible. Sometimes you and I make our own decisions, and it actually turns out pretty well. And people look at us and say, what a smart person. But see, it's not how it turns out that is the measure of our submission to God. Did I do that because I was being guided by God, or did I do it because that's what I wanted to do and I made my own decision? The sign of a relationship with God, we see it in this story, and Herod and Joseph is how well, how you obey God when he talks to you, when he tells you what to do. That's the sign of your relationship with God. It's the evidence of the health of your relationship with God. If we were to read the story and I were to say, okay, tell me about Herod's relationship with God, you would probably say, I don't think he had a relationship with God. And if we were to read the story and I were to say, okay, tell me about Joseph's relationship with God, you would probably say, he walked with God. He knew God. He was close with God. Why would you say that? Why would you assume Herod had no relationship with God and Joseph had a close relationship with God? Well, because of how they obeyed God. One listened and obeyed. The other one didn't listen and made up his own way. See, that is the sign of our relationship with God, is how well we listen and obey. When we obey immediately, without questioning, without thinking, without doubting, even though it's something difficult, like traveling across the world, like he told Joseph, whatever it is, that's the sign of our relationship with God, how well we listen and obey. So what is this calling us to do, looking at these two examples? I think, obviously, this is calling us to listen and obey, to listen to God and to do what he says, to try to hear his voice and to obey him. And if you say, well, how does that work? I haven't had any God dreams lately. Should I sleep more? Maybe that's what last night was for, right? Another hour of, no, that's not the answer. How do we listen to God? We should try to listen to him and obey him. How do we listen to him? We listen to him primarily through his word. How he's spoken to us. He speaks to us through his word. He guides us by his spirit. So if you're God's child and you have his spirit, he will guide you, especially as you read this book. And then as you're going through life, he will guide you. He will make you aware of your sin and things you need to change. As you read and as you live, he will show you that's not right. He will put opportunities before you where you should speak or where you should help someone, where you should do something, the kind of things that Jesus would do were he here. And something inside you will say, that's what you should do. You'll be reading the Bible and something will jump off the page at you and you'll, that's what you should do. And that's we should listen to God. And when we say, but I don't know what he wants me to do. In this moment, I wouldn't know what my next step is. Ask him. Ask him. When we ask God what he wants us to do, he makes it clear to us. If you say, God, what do you want me to do? I don't know if there's anything right now that you want me to do. Well, there is, because he's always calling us forward. So you say, what is there? And then you read the Bible, and then he will tell you what he wants you to do. That's a prayer that I found, at least for myself, that God always answers. And most of the time, it's immediately. When I say, God, what do you want me to do? What's the next step for me? What's in my life that does not please you? How can I help other people know you? Tell me the next thing to do. He always does. Sometimes it's immediately, and I just know. It's like, oh, that's it. I asked that this as I was going over this morning. It's like, I need to apply this to myself in the moment before I ask you to apply it to yourself. Okay, so I said, well, what is, and I knew immediately. It came to my mind. It's like, and it's a sinful feeling and a thought. And I said, okay, that's what I need to focus on. I need to be more like Jesus and submit that to him. And I knew immediately what God was asking me to do. And then listen and obey. When you know what God wants you to do, it's immediately doing it. Whatever he's asked you to do, without thinking, without questioning, just like Joseph. So what is your next step in surrendering yourself to God and deciding that God will be your boss and living surrendered to him? Maybe for you, it's making the decision to follow Jesus and to give yourself to him. And that is the heart of that decision. When you decide to follow Jesus and you repent and are baptized, what you are deciding, what we decide in that moment is, I used to be the boss of me. Now I'm letting you be the one who gets to tell me what to do. And when we repent, we're surrendering our heart and saying, I'm deciding that. You're the boss of me now. Then when we're baptized, we're surrendering our body and our whole being to God. Maybe that's the next thing you need to do because you've never done it and you need to surrender yourself to him. In this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone. And you can be guided through repenting, being baptized, and surrendering yourself to God. And maybe for you, you've made that decision, and this morning is just a time where you need to affirm that decision again to yourself and to God, and you need to spend some time saying, okay, God, I decided it before, but I forget about it. You are the boss of me. You get to tell me what to do. And then it's maybe for you the next step is not just affirming that mentally with God and in your heart, but saying, and God, what is the next thing you want me to do? I haven't been listening to you. I haven't been trying to hear your voice. And as I read the Bible, I say, what do you want me to do now? Would you tell me? And maybe you know what that is immediately. Maybe you need to talk to God and read his word and listen to him. But whatever it is, listen and obey. So let me read a couple of questions to help us seal this in an application way. What are you going to do? In what area of your life are you trying to control? No matter what it takes, you're trying to control that. What would it look like if you surrender that to God? In what area of your life have you been resisting God? And what do you need to do today to submit yourself to God? What are you going to do? Let me end with just an encouraging word, because when we think about submitting ourselves to God, it's difficult. It's like, oh, I don't want to, and I don't even know if I can. And what we celebrated earlier with communion is the example of complete surrender to the Father. And so when we're thinking about, I need to surrender to the Father, we can remember Jesus and how he completely surrendered to the Father. Because everything changes for us surrendering to God with the cross, because he loves us and he adopted us into his family and he forgives us. And he does that through his Son surrendering to him. And then Jesus invites us to surrender to the Father the way he did as well. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to you today, and I would ask that throughout this week, the example and the contrast between Herod and Joseph would just stick with us, and that we would try to be people who are more like Joseph, who listen to you, people make us people who want to read your word all the time. And that you would be gracious enough to tell us what you want us to do next. And that you would make us, God, be people who would just say yes. And that we would practice that. And that until it just becomes second nature. And we would just say yes to you. And that you would truly be the Lord of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.